I have a reputation, all right. I'm not sure that that's what it is, but we really do appreciate those that were willing to share their experiences for the feast and to tell us about the enjoyable feast they had and how spiritually it was encouraging. And certainly we look forward to the feast every year and are glad to have those festival reports. It's good to see everybody here. We hadn't had a chance to talk to all of you since the feast, but it was enjoyable for us as well. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. We're blessed and have an abundance, but when we go to the feast, we have a superabundance, not only of spiritual food, but also, as somebody was talking about belt and leather, you can't quite get the two to go together. The belt needs an extra punch, I think is what you indicated. And certainly we enjoyed a lot of good food at the feast, and what a great opportunity it was. I might just take a minute or two, since I went to Branson. Nobody talked about Branson, just to mention that was a fantastic feast at Branson. Great feast, wonderful location, weather was beautiful. The hall was really fabulous. It's in a new place. Used to be in the Ballnobbers, those of you that have been there before, where we were crowded in, but this is in the White House Center, and it really is a beautiful place. Plenty of room. I think it seats around 1,000 or better, and we had 450 or somewhere around that number there. So we had plenty of room. Had tables in the back for families where the kids could sit at a table and they could draw or take notes or whatever, and very, very convenient. Very nice feast. And of course, the meeting hall I mentioned, the housing was fantastic as well. As you know, in that area, there are a lot of condominiums, hotels, and so forth, shows and activities, and of course, eating places that were enjoyable. We really had some scrumptious meals. In fact, I could say that I probably had one of the best meals I've ever had there at the feast this year. So it was really exciting and spiritually rewarding. Talking about being spiritually rewarding, I thought I might just mention a little bit of the topics. Of course, all of us heard Mr. Franks, his encouragement for us to continue the course and go on to perfection. You know, the sermon really was the theme that carried through our feast site. That theme was echoed with each of the messages as a part of that effort of going forward. One of them was on the area of preparing to rue, building godly character, because without godly character, we're not going to be given the opportunity to rue, because God's rulers will have his character and his guidance and his spirit and his mind to lead them. Leading by service, of course, was another area that was very, very important and emphasized, and one that we need to take to heart all of the time. We are indeed called to be servants, not rulers from the standpoint of a negative way of lording it over people. One emphasized the restoration doesn't just happen. In other words, we're not just going to go and there will be the kingdom, Christ returns, and everything's restored. There will be a process in which we as servants of God, who are first fruits, will be involved in that restoration process. And certainly it's important that we understand that and we realize that we need to sharpen our talents and commitments to God and God's way now so that we can be given responsibilities and show that we will fulfill them in the proper way. We'll be teaching God's way in the world tomorrow is another effort that was really emphasized during the feast. And one of the things that was brought out in one of the sermons and one of the things that was talked about was God's government. There will be no end to the increase of that government from then on. In other words, from the time that God intervenes, the government will continue to increase, and we'll be a part of that increase throughout the universe. Of course, the book of Ecclesiastes is one that's usually read during the feast, or was at the time that Israel was having the feast. And it, of course, emphasizes that we indeed are to be focused on, you know, serving God and fear of God and keeping His commandments, and that's our duty. That's the duty of man to do that. So it was a joyful feast, an enjoyable feast. However, my son went with us, and he, as you know, many of you, was having back problems and difficulties, so it was difficult the last few days at the feast. But he was operated on last Monday and is doing better. The doctor said the surgery was successful, but he's still having pain, and he wanted me to thank you for your prayers and your concern, so I wanted to do that. You know, we've been blessed, all of us, went to different feast sites, but we had the same focus. We had the same vision, so to speak, of what's to come. The world doesn't have that kind of vision and that kind of hope. They are not able to understand what is coming, and so they live for today, many. But we are called to live today for tomorrow, for the future. God has called us with that purpose in mind. You know, all mankind is going to be blessed from God's intervention and His rulership and His direction in the earth. You know, that vision should be carried over, as was mentioned earlier in the festival reviews. That vision of what is to come should propel us and encourage us into the future to look at ourselves and the way we're conducting our lives and the things we're doing to see if we're headed in the right direction or maintaining that right approach, the way that we should go, that it is the godly way, the way that God intends. You know, the world today is in a mess. That's the best way for me to say it. It's in a mess. Anywhere you go, there are problems and difficulties. I don't know how many of you watch Friday Night Live. If you're familiar with that, that's every, I guess, once a month it comes forward. They have Friday Night Live. Last night, Mr. Paul Carter was on Friday Night Live, and he talked about the coming kingdom and the world tomorrow and what was taking place. And he reviewed Matthew 24 about the things that would take place. We're to pray and to watch. Pray and watch was the emphasis. And he explained that a little bit more about the need to be close to God. And to watch means to be awake, alert, attentive to what God is doing around us. And when we look around us, we see what I read here in Romans 8. Let's look at Romans 8 and let's verse 18. Let's start in verse 18. Excuse me, my old sinuses here tend to drain on me. For I consider that the suffering of this present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Exactly what I'm talking about. We have hope for the future. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. And we do have that hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So we see here emphasis on the fact that we as children that God has begotten will indeed be the children that are helping to rule, and that kingdom will be brought forth, and we will show forth the glory of God's way to mankind, and we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. In verse 22, we read on, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." And that's what we're seeing around us today. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our bodies. So that's our hope. That's our focus. And it's emphasized by the feast that this is the focus that we must have as God's people. Mr. Armstrong used to always go back to Acts, the third chapter. In verse 19, when he talked about the restoration of all things, that time that we hope for, we're looking forward to, it says in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted. So this is our calling, is to see ourselves compared with what God wants and be converted, be changed to a godly attitude and approach, having God's Spirit to guide us, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Yes, there is a restoration that is coming, and we're to be a part of that restoration. But that restoration won't begin until Jesus Christ intervenes in the earth and we, as first fruits, are born to be in God's family, to begin and support the restoration that God has planned for mankind. Back in Revelation 19 and verse 7, there's the scripture that says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. So we're to be the very bride of Jesus Christ, and we're to be ready. And that's one of the emphasis that we should have leaving the feast and going forward, is being ready, being converted, being willing to yield ourselves to God and God's way. To be ready. You know, we must continue to make ourselves ready by striving to go on to perfection. Mr. Franks emphasized this was the theme that he felt we should have. Going on to perfection. How often do we think about that? Do we think about that on a daily basis or ever so often or whatever? But that should be in the forefront of our mind. Going on to perfection. Am I doing what I can to be more like Jesus Christ, our model and our example? Going on to perfection, making ourselves ready. We must understand our calling is to change and to grow. You know, that's the basis of why we were called now. If we're to be first fruits, God has a plan, and there's a place for different people at different times. All mankind will be given an opportunity, but we were chosen not because of our greatness, as it says. Well, we can turn back there. 1 Corinthians 1. And let's look at verse 26. I've got a new Bible here, and these thin pages are kind of hard to separate sometimes. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26, it says, for you see your calling. I hope we see our calling, our responsibility, what I've been talking about this morning. Brethren, that not many wise men according to the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him we are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So Jesus Christ was willing to take on the responsibility to give his very life that we might have a relationship with God. We might have forgiveness through that sacrifice. And we are sanctified and set apart as first fruits. This is our calling and time in God's plan. So now it's important that we realize that and have that focus in our life. We are special for a purpose. Not that we're better or greater, but God's plan calls for people to be first fruits, to be those that marry Jesus Christ and are an example for others in the world tomorrow and in the future on the last great day. So what an awesome calling. Do you get excited about that? Sometimes we don't. We've got a world we have to fight. We've got our natures we have to fight. We have problems with our natures. We have problems with different one another from time to time. But it's a challenge, and we need to look at it in that way, that it is a challenge that God has called us to meet so that we can be in His family and we can be helpers of the joy of others in the future. So what a blessing that is, that we've been called for. Our calling is first fruits, learning God's way and going on little by little to perfection. Or maybe some people go big steps at a time to perfection, but sometimes you look at yourself and say it's little by little, not great steps, but God knows our hearts and minds, and He will help us with the problems that we have if we yield ourselves to Him. Also, back in 1 Peter, we can read. Let's turn back to 1 Peter. Let's see, 1 Peter 2, and let's look at verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, just what I've been talking about. You know, we don't like to look at ourselves as special, that type of thing, but we're a chosen generation. We have to understand that. We have to have that in our minds. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Our minds have been opened to the truth. The window pane has been cleared so that we can see. We can observe what is going on in the world. We can see what God's Word says and can compare the two and know what is right and good and pleasing in God's sight. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your souls. Yes, we're fighting a war day by day, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So there is coming a time when people we've known that know our carnality in so many ways, and they see our examples that we've done and our things that we have done that are different, they marvel at and are wondering about. But during that day of visitation, they will have their eyes open to see that we were being led by God to do the things that we're doing. And it will help them and support them as they go forward at the time that they are called. So what a blessing that is. Let's turn on back in 1 Peter to 1 Peter 4. And let's look at verse 17. One that you're familiar with, I'm sure, but you're familiar with most of these scriptures I've read today. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good, and as to a faithful Creator. So we're committing our souls to God to do good, to grow in grace and knowledge, to seek after godliness and righteousness. What a blessing and what a calling we've been given. You know, judgment is on us now. That's one of the things we have to realize. The world is not necessarily being judged in the way that we are at this time, but this is an opportunity for our salvation. So we need to take it seriously. This is our opportunity. Now's the time. We must not neglect going on to perfection or seeking God's way in our lives. So what do we do now? You know, we've been to the feast. We've got an insight into what God's kingdom's about, what's coming. We have a focus on the future. So what do we do now? You know, we've been at the feast. We've been encouraged. We've been exhorted. We've been enthusiastic. All of those characteristics that we need to have. And so we need to go forward now in a way that's right. Are we taking our calling seriously? We might need to ask ourselves. Are we just going through the motions? The feast helps us to see the blessings that we've been given, and we must not take it lightly and continue to be ready by going on to perfection. You know, I have thought about, I heard sermons at the feast and so forth, but thought about myself, and I had three things I felt like would really be helpful to me, and therefore I felt like maybe they would be helpful to you that I'd like to share with you today. That would help me in looking forward and seeking to go on to perfection. The first thing I feel like that would be important for me to do more regularly than I do it is consider our ways. Consider our ways. Consider my way. What am I really doing? Am I doing this to fulfill my calling? Am I doing it for selfish ambition or whatever? What am I really putting my time on? What am I doing? Do we really have the right priorities and the focus that God wants us to have that we got at the feast? You know, back in the book of Haggai, there is a book of Haggai, you know that, don't you? Book of Haggai. I got a tab on here so I can find it real quick. Book of Haggai, in chapter 1, and let's go to verse 2, says, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." At that time, they were building the temple of God. And you know, God makes a parallel with us today, that we are that spiritual temple that he is building at this time. So, you know, the temple, they were seeking to build a temple, and they were slackers on their job. In other words, they decided they had other priorities, other things to do, and it goes on to talk about that here a little bit. Said, "Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruin?" So they were dedicating their energy and their effort to things that weren't godly and what God had called them to have the main focus on. So you can see that situation. That can happen to us as members of the parts to be a part of the temple that God is building, the spiritual temple. "Now for that, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." So he wanted them to think about, you know, were they really doing what God had called them to do or not? Consider your ways. And then he goes on to say in verse 6, "You have sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but you're not warm." No one is warm, rather. "And he who earns wages to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." So it's important that we think about what we really are doing. We're enthusiastic about God's way, where we're going, but we need to be sure that we're putting the first things first. You know, this is one of the main scriptures that all of us know is Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So it's going to be one of the focuses that we have in our hearts and our minds. Consider our ways. Back in Psalms 139, and let's start in verse 1. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. Certainly God knows us. He knows whether we have the right focus in our lives. His desire is that we do have that right focus. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. Behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. So God knows us. He understands our thoughts, our ways, and, you know, what we're doing, what our priorities are. And then it goes on, and let's skip on down to verse 23. So we know that God knows our ways and so forth. So we might want to ask God, say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So this focus needs to come from God. We need to ask him to help us see ourselves in the proper light, to consider our ways. In 2 Timothy, we'll get there in a minute. There's 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, the scripture that we're all familiar with. 16 and 17. It says, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God's word is the basis for that instruction that we need to be looking at. It's available to inspire us. It's available to teach us doctrine, the foundations that we need to have. It's available for reproof or correction and instruction in righteousness, the example of Jesus Christ and those that God has called through the ages to follow. We must not neglect our Bible study. So if we're going to go forward and seek righteousness, we've got to study the Bible. We have to look at God's word. How many of you are taking the Bible correspondence, not Bible correspondence course, the Bible reading program, and trying to keep up with that? You don't have to raise your hands, but you know, that's an important part, I think, of staying with our noses in the Bible, in the scripture, so that we see day to day what God has to say to us. And he can, with his spirit and the instruction in his word, can cause our minds to see better what we need to do, what we need to change, how we need to grow. So we must not neglect Bible study and look at ourselves in that spiritual mirror. You know, it talks about God's word being that spiritual mirror that we may walk by all the time and never stop and take a good look at it, so you don't really see the need for another belt or all those kinds of things. I'm just teasing about that. But really, you need to stop and see what you look like, spiritually speaking. That spiritual mirror. I don't want to look at myself in the other mirror. I will have clothes on. This is a pretty that way. So we need to take advantage of Bible reading program and other things. And like I mentioned, the Friday Night Live opportunity, the situation we have with Foundation Institute now, it's a tremendous tool for us to listen to the God's word expounded and to take advantage of that. So Christ sets us an example. He gives us the tools. We need to consider that and yield ourselves to be led by Him through these activities that God gives us. Back in Luke, the 9th chapter, I know it's here. Luke 9. And let's begin in verse 57. Well, am I in the right place? Yeah, here I am. It says in verse 57 of Luke 9, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.'" This is someone talking to Jesus Christ. This is Jesus Christ when he was here upon this earth. "And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" So it's an emphasis on the fact that we can't look back. We can't get our focus on not going forward with what God has called us to do. And we need to keep that in our hearts and minds so that we don't slip back into the bad habits that we once had in our lives, and that we make the changes that we need to make. So make a list. You're a list person? Some people make lists. I make a list and forget where I put the list. But, you know, we need to make a list of the shortcomings we have as well as the strengths, and emphasize, you know, I want to change in this area. I want to grow in this area. I need to really take this seriously. So we don't forget. Remind ourselves. Find that list. Don't let it get lost. And keep it in your mind and pray about it. You know, we need to see our weaknesses, and we need to meditate on those weaknesses, and we need to meditate on our strengths and how we can use the strengths we've been given to be supporters of one another, encouragers of one another. So let's be sure that we consider our ways as we go forward. The things we need to consider are important. The second thing that I felt was important, and this was brought out at the feast, was don't let our love grow cold. Don't let our love grow cold. In Matthew 24 and verse 12, you know, we can not be aware of it, but we don't show the love we need to show if we don't focus on the fact that we need to be doing that. Matthew 24, verse 12. "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then will the end come." So, you know, we see that lawlessness today, as I mentioned earlier, is indeed a problem, and that can cause us to drift away from the love and outgoing concern that we need to have, not only for brethren and one another, but for the whole world. We need to pray about your kingdom coming, God. That's the thing that you've emphasized, and that is concern because of the world needs it. We all need it. One that really drives home that point is in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. One that you're familiar with, I know. Verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. These are indeed, if you open your eyes and look and see the world around you, you can see that we are in the last of these days. All of these things are pointing to the time being close. For men will be lovers of themselves. See, that's the focus of the world today. Loving self rather than having outgoing concern and love for others that we should have. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying the power of it, and from such people turn away. We're not to allow those types of things to pull us away, and if we associate with and are with people that have that inclination and those approaches, they can pull on us as well, and so we need to guard against that. Self-love is to be replaced with love for God and for others, real love. In Revelation, the second chapter, Revelation 2, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. So we can allow our love that we once had when we were first called, the enthusiasm, the zeal, and the desire to serve, become cold. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. So this is a concern that Jesus Christ expressed to the church at Ephesus at that time. And of course, we know that that is pervasive today. The churches that are mentioned in the Revelation here, people from those different eras are among the groups that we are today. So we can't allow ourselves to leave that first love. It says, remember therefore from whence you have fallen, repent, and do the first works, or else I will come upon you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. So that's an exhortation to us to really take this seriously. Don't lose our first love. Remember our first love. Be excited about God's way and God's purpose. And help others be excited as well. Back in John, the 13th chapter, John 13, in verse 34, says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So we're supposed to learn the new commandment that Christ gave is not that it's not God's commandment, but he set us the perfect example. So he says, as I have loved you. He set us that example of how we are to love and show love and to spiritually keep God's law and the intent of that law and outgoing concern for others and for God. How do we show love to others in the church? Real outgoing concern? Are we concerned about them? Do we call them? Do we ask about them when they're sick? Pray for them? Do we seek to serve others in any way we can to help others? Do we show appreciation for the people and things they do for us We really need to do that. Real appreciation. God has called us to be that kind of person. And easily forgive others that offend us and hurt us and cause us problems. You know, love takes a willingness to serve and an energy to do something about it. You know, you can mentally say, I forgive that person or whatever, but then we need to be willing to step out in faith and do something about what God has given us to do. Proverbs 12 and verse 25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes glad. So encouragement of other people is an important part that we can play in God's work to help us grow in perfection, as Mr. Franks emphasized. Do we seek to encourage others to help them with their difficulties and problems? So we must guard against letting our love grow cold and maintain that first love that we had when we came in the church. I know most of you have talked about, you know, when you first came in, how excited you couldn't get enough to read and all that kind of stuff. The excitement, enthusiasm for God's way. The third and final point that I have is redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Mr. Foster, John Foster, mentioned this in a sermon at the feast. It's now high time that we redeem the time. We see the things going on in the world today, and we need to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward to do God's work, to do His will. Let's look at Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Excuse me. That you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, it's God's will that we grow. We redeem the time. That we go forward and do what's right and pleasing in God's sight. And we go on in verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispersion, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So we redeem the time in this way, doing those things that are needful for our spiritual growth and development. You know, we get wisdom to redeem the time from our awe and respect for God. You know, Psalms 111, verse 10 reads, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do His commands or commandments. His praise endures forever. Here, that awe or that appreciation and respect for God should motivate us to do what is right, what is good, what is pleasing in God's sight. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of real wisdom to fulfill what God wants in our lives. Make sure we have that reverence and respect for God and continue to have it day by day. So we need to be diligent doing what we ought, going on to perfection. We then have an opportunity to receive wisdom, guidance, and direction from God's Spirit to help us in our pursuits in this life. Back in Romans, the 13th chapter, Romans 13, I'd say I have a frog in my throat, but they're not clean. Yeah, but got something there. Romans 13, and let's look at verse 11. Well, I might even read verse 10 because it goes back to what I was emphasizing earlier about love. And verse 10 says of chapter 13, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Very important to understand that. It fulfills the law, God's purpose that he's given us to fulfill. Verse 11 goes on, and do this, knowing that the time that is now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So, redeeming the time, we've got to wake up. We've got to be awake, alert, attentive to God's calling and his way. Realize the importance of it. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, nor in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Again, encouragement to do what God wants us to do. To be awake, to be alert. We can relate to the 10 virgins in Matthew 25 when we talk, you know, it says there they all slept. You know, we have all slept at times. But we need to be awake now. God is calling us to be awake and alert and attentive and really yielded to him. So to go on to perfection requires that we take action. We can't just have the vision of what we enjoyed at the feast and what's going to come in the future, but we have a role to play. We see that. We're encouraged to know that that is the case. And so we need to be awake spiritually and aware of what is going on in our lives and in the world. So in conclusion, I hope you are able to see better what we need to be doing now than maybe you were when you came into services today, that we need to be zealous, enthusiastic, and encouraging one another and growing together to fulfill God's calling. The feast should inspire us to want to go on to perfection, letting God guide us and direct us. And considering our ways is one of those ways that we need to go forward. Not letting our love grow cold is another. And redeeming the time we have been given, because as first fruits, we are being judged now. God has called us. He's blessed us. Let's fulfill our calling.